You know, the little Christian paper that I brought in here, as you very well know, this Washington for Jesus special edition here was for one purpose, and that is the people had decided to gather to Washington to pray and ask God to spare the nation. That's what it was all about. They were going to ask God to spare the nation. And all these churches, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, United Pentecostal, Church of God, Assemblies of God, all of them united together, Catholic, Methodists, and they went there in a great mass, and they fasted all day long before God. And it was agreed that they would fast all day long and ask God to intervene and save their nation. And while they were there, they also, Brother Shakarin, head of the Full Gospel Businessmen, he along with some of the others, prayed for all of our senators. Our senators, they were praying for one of the senators, and the other senators saw them praying for them, for him, and so then they asked if they would pray for them also. So they prayed for all the senators in the White House. And it was really something that the Lord was doing there. And if you remember, the vision that I had was a vision showing this before it ever happened. And the purpose of it was in the vision that these people felt that they had found the right thing to come together in, that it, in the vision it had to do with the end of the world, and they were coming together for the rapture of the church. Whereas, if you remember, I said when this gathering in Washington came about that it had to do with the rapture of the church. I remember me saying that. And of course, that's what the vision was about. The vision had to do with the rapture of the church. They were all gathering in, coming together in one unit because they felt the end of the world was here, and they were getting ready to come together so that they could all be raptured out and not be left here. It was very obvious. I think most all the fellows that went along with us up there will tell you that it was very obvious that the people that gathered there in that huge mass, that they really had a feeling that everything was at an end. You could just tell the atmosphere of the people that they felt like this is our last hope. This is the last straw. As a matter of fact, men like Pat Boone got up and made the statement that they had sold their birthright for a morsel of bread. And I believe his wife went so far as to make the statement that they were going to quit the movies. I'm not sure about that, but somebody told me that she made the statement that they were pulling away from the movie industry. And it was really a sight to see one right after another confessing their sins and asking God to forgive them. It had to do with quite a number of spiritual things that maybe one of these days we'll get to relate. I'd love to be able to bring out some of the spiritual side of it to where we could understand better what it has to do with concerning us down here. But it really has a great significance and has to do with us here in a great way. I hope that those that have been coming to church, that's been tutored under the ministry here in the last few years, I hope that they've really laid things to heart and that they've not been careless, unconcerned, and just let things drift by, but that they have paid attention to the wonderful things that God has made known to us. I'd like to read a little bit from the book of Jude, if you've got your Bibles. I was looking tonight at the brochure that I got from Brother Walden, and he is in a meeting down in Moultrie. His wife wrote us a letter, I think about 3 days ago or 2 days ago, and I said they were having a great meeting, And it was outstanding. People was coming from all around. And then Junior was telling me today that I would call and I wanted to know why that I hadn't been down. Brother Walden had asked me to come down to it. He has his big new tent set up. It's a mammoth of a tent. And Junior said that the meeting was so wonderful according to what Howard told him, that they're going to maybe go on with it another week. And people was coming from everywhere to the meeting. We're scheduled to preach for Brother Walden over in Canada at the campground at, is it Elmer? Elmer, Canada. Sometimes in August, I believe it is. And I may go down to the tent meeting down to Moultrie. If nothing happens, I might go down there. I had it on my mind today. And then looking at the brochure over in the evening and then Junior calling it to my attention again. So I may go down there. You know, let's read the book of John here and some of Jude too. It's not very much in the books. Both of them are small books. John, the first chapter. The elders unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Whereof, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. The book of Jude, first chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, and to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put ye in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruits withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know, it's right across from this that we find the revelation of Jesus Christ. The next readings, the book of John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and find how John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And in the 12th chapter, find the great wonder in heaven. In the 13th chapter, the beast coming up out of the sea. Whereas Jude, if you notice in his writings here as we read, he says here very clearly in the 14th verse, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, he says here, the Lord coming with 10,000 saints, which apparently must have to do with Revelation 19, where the Lord comes back on the white horse with the armies of heaven with him. And I made the statement the other night that, you know, we now as a people, we cannot fight, we cannot physically rise up, we cannot offer any retaliation toward our aggressors so far as physical violence. We cannot do it because we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the members of his body. In particular, the scripture tells us, therefore we are the atonement to the world. the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas the Bible tells us that we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, in this we're more than conquerors through Christ who gave himself for us. Now, so then we cannot retaliate, we cannot fight back at this present time, because we are as the atonement to the people. Swearing to our own hurt, though they injure us, though they hurt us, though they might grieve us, though they might say things and be brutal toward us, yet we must of necessity be loving and kind toward them, that they may see Christ on the inside of us. And thus seeing Christ, they will be ashamed of the contrary part and give their hearts to God. That way they see the Lord, our outer man dying as a lamb, that the inner man of Christ may be seen. And this must continue until the blood comes off of the mercy seat. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, then it's all over. And we never again will be considered the atonement, but we will, with Christ Jesus in Revelation, take up natural warfare to come and fight, as it would be say, in a natural way, to destroy natural people until the natural blood runs up to the horse's bridle for maybe 2 miles long. So we see that there is going to be a great warfare at the end of the tribulation period or the regime of Antichrist, and that when the Jewish church, our Jewish nation, comes into power, that they always fight physically. They always fight naturally because they are defending a natural heritage, and their inheritance is a natural land, a natural earth, natural inheritance. So then they fight naturally to preserve their natural heritage. Whereas we are a spiritual Jew, we have a spiritual inheritance, ours is a spiritual heritage, and we fight for the spiritual heritage through spiritual power. The weapon of our warfare not being carnal, Paul said, but mighty through the casting down of strongholds, imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, we can see then that there will be a war. There will be a war. We're told in the 7th verse of the 11th chapter, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So then, there's going to come a time when there's going to be war in heaven, and the war taking place up there means that Lucifer won't be able to stay in the spiritual realms, but he'll have to personify himself in a human body, and then he will fight as a human being, and all of the demon powers or fallen angels will also inhabit human bodies, and they will fight as human beings as Christ Jesus takes you and I as an army to fight against them, the Jewish people being right there to fight the natural people of the earth, we as a spiritual people being right there to fight against Lucifer and the demon powers which have incorporated themselves in human bodies. It'll be some more war, and that thing is getting closer and closer. All the time it's getting closer. Notice that in the 7th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, war in heaven, Lucifer is cast out. Then the voice says, there has come power, salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies, loving not their lives unto the death. Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Then he persecutes the woman. She takes the 2 wings to fly into the wilderness. And she has a place where she is nourished for times, time and a half a time, or 3.5 years. The dragon casting out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that she might be carried away of the flood. And the earth opening up, swallowing up the water. Immediately following this, the dragon going to make war with the remnant of Assyrian that she's sealed in, we find that the Bible teaches John is standing upon the sands of the sea and he sees this beast having the 7 heads and 10 horns come up out of the waters, having the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any have ear to an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now then, if you'll notice here, it is in the 14th verse of the 11th chapter that it says the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. In the 15th verse, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Whereas in the 10th chapter, you remember the thunders, you remember the things that was said in the thunders and the little book that the angel had in his hand. And remember that when John was going to express those things that the thunders uttered, the voice said, see that you do it not. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all of those mysteries that the thunder stated shall be made known. Immediately following the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter, we find that seventh angel sounding, that very angel sounding that Revelation 10 speaks of. Now, if you'll notice, Revelation 10 speaks of the angel, and then the seventh angel sounding, and then Revelation 11, we find in that this great angel begins to sound. And the mysteries was supposed to be finished when the seventh angel sound, are the thunders, the seven thunders that uttered their voice in the seven thunders, was a mystery that was supposed to be expressed when the angel, or the seventh angel that is, began to sound. Is that right? So then we see here that in the 11th chapter, immediately following the proclamation of the angel, the seventh angel began to sound. Now, if the seventh angel was to make known the mysteries of the thunders, where in the book of Revelation is the thunders made known? You say, Brother Pike, they're not in the book of Revelation. I know that they're not in the book of Revelation written down in the sense that the angel said, John, see that you write it not. And John was writing all of the things that he saw. But the angel said to John, concerning the seven thunders, see that you write it not, John. Therefore, it is not written in the book of Revelation as an explanation of what the thunder said. It is not written in there. Yet it is a positive fact that the Bible says in the days of the voice on the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. And it is a fact that immediately following Revelation 10, that the seventh angel did begin to sound. Therefore, what the angel said, or whatever his ministry was, or whatever the proclamation was, it had to be the expressing of the seven thunders. It had to be there, because if it isn't there, then the scriptures is broken. Because the angel said to John, the angel of Revelation 10 stated very clearly to John, John, see that you write it not. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. If following immediately in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, the seventh angel sounds, then where is the mystery of the seven thunders that the angel spoke about? Because if the seventh angel sounded, then he had to make known the seven thunders. Isn't that right? Either he had to make known the seven thunders or the scripture is broken. Because the scripture said when he sounds, then the mystery would be made known. So it is a fact that when the seventh angel began to sound, there was something that took place in heaven. Did you notice that?
Right.
There was something that took place in heaven, because when he began to sound in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, following the 10th chapter of the proclamation of the angel, all of a sudden John looks up into heaven. And everything is focused on heaven. And suddenly there appears a woman that is in great travail. There in heaven is a woman that is in great travail. And this woman being in heaven, the Bible said the great red dragon was laying there ready to devour her child just as soon as it was born. Is that right? The woman was in great travail, and there laid the dragon ready to devour her child just as soon as that child was born. But I praise God for one thing. And the Bible said, just as quick as that child was born, it was caught up to the throne of God. And the Bible said, all of a sudden there was war in heaven, and Michael began to fight, begin to rise up against Lucifer, all the red dragon. There was a great war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels fought, and the dragon, the Bible said, prevailed not, neither was there place found in heaven anymore for Lucifer, and the great red dragon was cast out into the earth. Isn't that right? So then we see by this that there was something taking place in heaven. What was it? There must have been thundering. There must have been lightning. You know, when we look back at Calvary, the thing that took place at Calvary, the sun turning dark, there when the veil was rent in twain, Jesus said, I beheld Lucifer or Satan fall as lightning from heaven. It was there at Calvary that Jesus overcame death. It was there at Calvary that Jesus defeated Lucifer. It was there at Calvary that was the unveiled revelation of Jesus Christ when the veil was rent in twain. And John, a few years later, penned that as he was caught away in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos. There he wrote it down, 96 AD. He wrote that thing down that had happened a few short years before. God unveiled the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, and he saw the great wonderful mysteries of what was taking place. We see the clouds coming together, the hot and the cold, the dark and the light clouds begin to come together. There's war in heaven. There's a great war that begins to take place in heaven. We see the friction, we see the lightning, and we know that things is beginning to take place. We hear the thunders rolling. Why? Because it has to do with the great war of Michael and his angels fighting in heaven. It's the hot and the cold coming together. God said, I would that ye be hot or cold, because you look warm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Isn't that right? And so then when the hot and the cold come together, what happens? The lukewarm gets spewed out. Isn't that right? So Lucifer goes out. That is in between goes out. Is that right? There has to be something from down here that's cold that meets with something up yonder that's hot, as we would say, coming together, and then the powers of Lucifer that's caught in the middle realm, that's neither down here nor up there as far as being spiritual or natural, but caught in the middle, it goes out. Because he said that which is lukewarm is spewed out. So then we see a great war taking place in heaven. Revelation 11, the angel sounds, the great angel of God sounds. Who is he? The seventh angel.
When the seventh angel begins to sound, what does he do? The mysteries of God is finished. When he begins to sound, what happens? The seven thunders is made known. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, John, see that you write not these thunders. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, these mysteries shall be finished. Is that right? When he said the mystery of God should be finished, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it means that whatever mysteries was contained within the seven thunders had to be made known in the time of that preaching of that seventh angel. And that seventh angel started to sound, the war took place in heaven. Now, when that war took place in heaven up there, that great war, I believe with all of my heart that it brought in those thunders that John was talking about. I believe that when that war started, the reason, one of the reasons that John could not write it down was because it was a thing that was to illustrate or to be a type or typical of something that was to be projected in the future. I believe that the war in heaven extends through the Old Testament all the way back to Daniel. When Daniel prayed to God, Daniel prayed and fasted. And the Bible says when the angel came to Daniel, he said, Daniel, we heard your supplication at the very first day that you begin to intercede. But said when we tried to get to you, said the powers of Satan, the power that's in between, that power of the air, begin to interfere and it stopped us from answering your prayer. And we had to send back and get reinforcement. You know, angels fighting against angels. Here's a man praying, struggling and holding on in prayer, saying, help me God, help me God. And here up in heaven, way up here in the third heaven, here's the powers of the angelic forces and God answering prayer and sending that power down to the man to give him the answer. And here in the middle realm is Lucifer. And here are the powers of the fallen angels that interfere. And angel to angel they fight and wrestle until God sends reinforcement. And then they overpower Satan and come down to answer the prayers of Daniel. Now you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I believe that what it indicated was that prayer of Daniel could not be answered until Jesus died for remission of sin. I believe that that wall of resistance held back the prayer of Daniel until they went back to heaven and got word there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that brought the thing to pass, which means that that was prolonged from the time of Daniel all the way over to the book of Revelation, and from the book of Revelation all the way over to the day that we're living in. You say, but Brother Pike, you can't prove that by the Bible. Then tell me this one thing. Why is it that when the angel came down to Daniel and stood before Daniel and said, O Daniel, thou beloved man of God, I have come to give thee skill and understanding. And yet when he told Daniel these things, he said, Daniel, seal these things up. For you shall rest in your lot, but seal these things up, Daniel. Isn't that right? Amen. Seal these things up. Not ready to make them known. That is, this great, great crossing, this great day that is to come, which is Calvary, this great war in heaven that has to do with the mystery of these seven thunders. This great thing has not taken place yet, Daniel. Seal the book up. Seal it up. Daniel said, I didn't understand. I was sick for certain days. I couldn't understand. He said, seal up the book, Daniel. Seal up the book, for the time is not yet. But the vision shall speak at the time of the end and shall not lie. And isn't it the very same thing when John looks? What does John see? The very same things that John saw here in the book of Revelation, looking back through the history, was the same things that Daniel saw. And when it come to the beast, when it come to the visions of the different kind of beast, of the leopard and of the bear, and of the different beasts that Daniel saw in his vision, when you look at the book of Revelation in John, isn't it the very same thing? Isn't it the very same thing when John said in Revelation 13, I saw this beast come up out of the waters, which was the individual coming up from among many people, the Bible tells us, people being likened unto waters. Therefore, wasn't it the very same thing? For he said, I saw this great beast having the feet of a bear. I saw this beast having the body of a leopard. I saw this beast with the head of a lion. Isn't that right? Wasn't that what Daniel saw? Daniel said, I saw this first great vision of Babylon, that it was a lion. He stood up and a man's heart was given to him. I saw this great Medo-Persian kingdom as the bear. And then I saw this great Grecian kingdom as Alexander the Great. I saw it as a leopard. And so then in the end time, what is it? It is a constitution of the same three. Therefore, he said, seal it up, Daniel. You can't understand it now. Seal it up. But in the latter times, they will know what it means. And so then when John sees it, what does God say to John? He doesn't say seal it up. But he said, John, seal not the book, for the time is at hand. Oh, brother, don't you see the difference in the revelation of Christ Jesus? God says, seal it not, for the time is at hand. Before it is sealed. Whereas before Jesus comes, what he said? It said that great men desired to see these things. Great men have desired to see these things that you see, Jesus said. But the book was sealed up. Daniel was a great man. Jesus said, be it known unto you great scholars, you great Bible teachers. There are great men back in the Old Testament of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and great and mighty men that desired to see and to understand the things that you hear and the things that you see, and that I'm taking the veil off of them, Jesus said. Isn't that right? Great men have desired to see these. Why could they not see them? Because it was under the veil. Where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible says in the teachings of the Old Testament, the veil still remaineth over the face of the people in the reading of the Old Testament of the law, which veil remains until today, though it's done away with in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? From the time Adam falls in the garden, what happens? The death veil comes over him. The Shekinah glory of God lifts. Isn't that right? And immediately his intellectual reasoning, which is the darkness of the beast understanding, falls over him. That's why the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, because it is your first birth. It is your first nature. It is the outer man. It's that part that's contrary with God. It's that beast-like man. Don't lean to that, but find the mind of God and let the mind of Christ be in you. This great mind that was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us, let it be in you. And so then from the fall of Adam, here comes that dark mind of intellectual reasoning. The Shekinah glory of God lifts. All of a sudden, here comes the beast mind. Why? Because they said, we are naked. We are naked. But the Lord said, who told thee that thou wast naked? I called thee with the Shekinah righteousness of God. You should not have had any condemnation. Why do you feel under condemnation? Who told thee this? Who told thee this? It was the beast's mind. That's what told him. They were partakers of that intellectual mind of human reasoning, of education and understanding, which is a derivative from the tree of knowledge, which man follows after day that brings death. For to be carnally minded is death. It is a mind that cannot believe in the supernatural. It is a mind that cannot believe beyond the grave. The human mind cannot believe beyond the grave. There's no way in your natural thinking that you can believe beyond the grave. It's going to take you to a casket. It's going to take you into a grave, because you're going to find yourself believing just exactly in the natural that you're going to die. That's the only way, beloved friend, you're ever going to believe. But when you get God's spirit and God's mind and God's understanding, you begin to say, then I pass from death unto life. The Bible said, he that heareth my words is passed from death unto life. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost when I say that. Everyone that heareth my words shall live, Jesus said. And he that believeth on me is passed from death unto life, and he shall not come into condemnation. Therefore, it is a true fact that when the Shekinah glory of God was taken away from Adam, then came the veil. And where is the veil? The veil still remains today over the people's minds in the reading of the Old Testament. That is, the glory of God is hid behind the veil that Moses slipped over his face, being a type of the body of Jesus that housed and covered the Shekinah of the invisible spirit of the Heavenly Father. That veil was rent off Moses' face, as we say, as one beholding his face, being changed from glory to glory. That veil was taken away at Calvary, rent in twain, which means in the mind of Christ Jesus, I see beyond the intellectual reasoning, which is beyond the veil, and I see the glories of God. Hallelujah. All right, I have extensive eyes, having my eye, the eyes of my understanding enlightened. I comprehend the heights, I comprehend the depths, I comprehend the width. So then, in this understanding of God, this marvelous understanding of the Almighty God, I come to know Jesus in His radiance, in His glory, in His faith, to where I can believe and become eternal and never have to die. How wonderful it is! Faith caused Enoch to be translated into the kingdom of God, in the sense that the Bible said by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. So that Enoch, being translated, prophesied. I read it to you in the book of Jude. He prophesied, I see 10,000 of the saints of God coming. I see Jesus coming to execute judgment upon the world. Where's that at in the book of Revelation? Revelation 19. It has to be Revelation 19, where Christ comes back into the earth. And when he comes back, it's in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what done the job for him. Isn't that right? So then, when we see the great gathering in Washington, we know that something is about to take place. We see that at this very moment that God is doing something such as has never been done in the history of mankind. Seeing this thing and knowing that the world is at an end, what am I going to do? What can I do? I've got to understand. I've got to see. I've got to know what God was saying. So then, what John saw was what Daniel saw. Daniel saw it within the veil. God said to John, seal it not, John, it is out of the veil. It is the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John. It is out of the veil. This is the unseal, not the seal, John, but the unseal. This is the mind of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said to John. So then, it is not sealed. See that you seal it not. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, all of the mysteries of God, they'll come to an end then. They'll be finished then. You'll understand them, because the things of God have an end. So then, the voice of the seventh angel sounds out. The trumpet of the seventh angel sounds. And what takes place? Here we go back all the way to the Old Testament. Here we go back to all the way to the war in heaven, where Daniel is seeking an answer. Coming over to Calvary in about that time the veil is rent. And there the war takes place that John saw in the unveiling when he looked at Calvary. And there Jesus battling in heaven there. The Bible teaches as he rose from this earth going up, there when he came from the grave, he rent the veil in twain. That is, that between heaven and earth is the veil. Here we are down here, and God's in the third heaven. We down here in the first heaven, and Lucifer has climbed up into the second heaven. Whereas the Bible teaches that the serpent has got into the upper lintel. That is the second heaven. Where was the woman at in her travail? She was in the second heaven. Where was the red dragon? The Bible said he was in heaven. He's climbed up into heaven. How can he get into heaven? He's a spirit. He's an angelic being. What is heaven? It's the spirit. But is it the third heaven? It is not the third heaven. It is the second heaven. I wish we had time to teach on it. But it is the second heaven, not the third heaven, but the second heaven. Yeah, Lucifer is in the second heaven. Is that right? That's where the church is. And what is it? It's grace. The realms of grace. Oh, it's the realms of grace, my beloved brother. Sister, it's the realms of grace. Lucifer, through the grace of God, Lucifer lives in the human body today. He frolics throughout the world. He does his thing, as we say, throughout the world. He has his good times in the world, in the flesh today. And grace makes allowance. He can run to the doctor and be healed as far as the physical body he's inhabiting. If he has a toothache that is in the physical body, all he has to do is run to the dentist. But the Bible says in that day there'll be no healing medicines. No man shall save them. There'll come a time when God is going to lift grace. And brother, I say again, if you don't believe this is heaven, you stay around until grace is lifted. And when grace is lifted, the Bible said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. And if you don't believe this is heaven, just wait and be counted with them that's going to go through those things that's coming on this earth. And you'll know that you've been in heaven. Therefore, Lucifer will be cast out. Isn't that right? It doesn't say the woman is cast out. I remind you again, it doesn't say she's cast out of heaven. It says she fled into a wilderness. How can a woman that is in heaven go into a wilderness? How can there be a wilderness in heaven? You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said Lucifer was cast out into the earth. Isn't that right? How can Lucifer be cast out into the earth? It means that he can hide as a spirit as long as there's grace. As long as there's grace, Lucifer can hide because he's a believer. If you believe, you do well. Lucifer believes also, fears and trembles. Oh, but do you know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Is that right? So then Lucifer will not be in the spirit. He will be in a human body, which means the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For we are they that dwell in heaven, having been translated into the spirit, into the kingdom of God. We are elevated into the mind of Christ above these things. But Lucifer will be in the mind of man and in the mind of body and in the things of this world and become the prince and ruler of the powers of the air and the things of this world to set up the powers of Antichrist. Isn't that right? But the woman, how then does she go into wilderness and still remain in heaven? The same way that Jesus remained in heaven when he stood and talked to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, what must I do? Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus, art thou a ruler of the Jews? And you don't understand what I'm saying. Oh, he said, how can you understand spiritual things? If I talk to you of natural things and you don't understand them, how will you ever understand spiritual things? When I talk about heaven, Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, seeing that you're babes in Christ. I cannot therefore desire the sincere milk of the word. Jesus, what must I do? Nicodemus said. Jesus said, Nicodemus, no man has ever ascended up into heaven. No man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Isn't that right? Now, are you listening? No man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Then he said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man who is in heaven. How can it be? How, Jesus, can you stand there talking to a natural man and tell that man that you're in heaven when he's looking straight at you? My brother, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and caught up into heaven. There he was. How could he say, I'm in heaven? How could he say, I'm in heaven? And yet he was looking at a man standing on the earth. The same way that we can say tonight, we are those that dwell in heaven. For we are not of this world, for God hath chosen us out of this world, having translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. For the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, which means our inner spiritual being has been separated from our bodily being, from the beastly, failing, intellectual veil part that brings death. We have been separated from that by the death of Jesus at Calvary. And we are dead to the body and dead to sin and dead to the world by his body that was made sin. But our spiritual man, by the spiritual Christ that resurrected from the dead, has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of the living God. Our spirit is in the spirit, and the spirit is God, and whatever God is heaven. Isn't that right? The only heaven there is God. Hallelujah. Wherever the spirit comes, beloved friend, it turns it into heaven. That's why Jesus could say the Son of Man who is in heaven. That's why the Bible says that we, you and I, are sitting together in heavenly places. It turns it into heaven when Jesus comes around. Isn't that right? So then we see this great, wonderful unveiling. We see what John is speaking of. We see what the seventh angel is trying to say. War in heaven. The great middle wall has been broke down. The veil has been rent in twain. that great power of Satan, the prince, the ruler of the particles, the atomic particles in the air, the ruler over the powers of the air, the atomic particles that causes the interference, that causes the storm and the lightning and the trouble. That Satan, that Lucifer that causes death and sickness and heartaches and robs us of all of our loved ones. See, here we're looking, and there's Lucifer, the ruler of the powers of darkness, which means intellectual reasoning. That is, understanding that doesn't see God, the great light, that doesn't perceive the knowledge and life of God, in darkness of understanding, bound in chains of darkness. Never, always learning, always learning, always learning, never able to come to God truth, God knowledge, or knowledge of the truth. Bound in chains of darkness. What are you trying to say to us, Lord? The middle wall is broke down. When Jesus ascended, he met Satan. And when he met him, he cut across that middle wall, partition. He overpowered that ruler that has control of the atomic particles, the prince of this world, the one that causes the interference and the lightning and the storms that destroy. The Bible says when God binds him in the 1,000 years millennium, all of the earth will be at peace. There won't be any storms. There won't be any lightning. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any wars. There won't be any fighting. There won't be any poverty. Won't be any problems, because he'll be bound for 1,000 years. But there in the heavens, Lucifer, Jesus fought him. Put a door between heaven and earth. As I said the other night, a shepherd got into the little spaceship and went up, and he broke through the gravitational powers. At last, he made a door in heaven. Circling the globe, he made a door in heaven. He had at last broke the barrier between earth and the moon or the galaxies. From that, man after man went through. Men like Armstrong and others passed through the door and landed on the moon. Isn't that something? You know, it took Shepherd to do it. It took Jesus to do it, but Armstrong, that has to do with the Christ, went right past and right on up to the moon. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Right straight on through the door that Jesus had made. For he said, I am the door to the sheepfold. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. I am the door, Jesus said. Hallelujah. I'm the door. That's why I say, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For there is remission in none other name but the name Jesus. That's why that water is a grave. That's why you bear the old man. And Paul said, having put off the old, they therefore put on the new. As many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And when he said over there, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. Oh, glorious raiment. For if you come in without the wedding garment, you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. And what is the wedding garment? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as have been baptized in the Lord Jesus have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the Lord Jesus Christ? Our righteousness, the Christ. For he is our righteousness. For the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being not found in our own image, which is the failing image of the beast and the likeness, we will at his appearing be like him and be found in his image, that be the garment of righteousness, that be accepted, our inner spiritual man be found in the image of the Son of God. For if this man that I have, this natural tabernacle, Peter said, if it be dissolved, and Peter said, the heavens being on fire, these tabernacles, these particles, I'm made out of atomic particles, they'll be dissolved, Peter said. But if you dissolve my tabernacle in which my spiritual man lives, there I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I have a tabernacle. I have a palace. I have a glorious mansion in heaven. That is, I have the bodily member of Christ in heaven, in which my spirit dwells. In my Father's house, the body of Jesus Christ, there are many members, are many mansions. And I am one member. I dwell within that temple in heaven. You love the Lord? All right, we're going to close here in just a few minutes, but I want to say these few words in closing. First of all, what did John see? There was the thunders. The thunders was uttering their voices. What was going on? The Bible did say that they uttered their voices, isn't that right? The Bible said that the thunders did utter their voices. That means that they did speak. It's somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. Because they did speak. The sound did go out. It went out somewhere. It's somewhere around. Those thunders uttered their voices. And what was it? When that war took place in heaven, the lightning, the thundering, all of these great things began to take place, and the ark of his testament was open in heaven. There these great, wonderful things took place. And as I've said a number of times, when you get the people that are hot and the people that are cold, when you get people in one branch of religion that don't know the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then you get other people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and you try to bring them together like they did in that meeting up yonder in Washington for Jesus. When you start bringing the hot and the cold together, brothers and sisters, there's going to be friction. There's going to be war in heaven. There's going to be sharp, cutting words that's going to come forth. There's going to be friction. There's going to be sharp cutting, and there's going to be mumbling and rumbling and rolling. There's going to be thunders. And about that time, something's going to happen, because one body or another's got to prevail. One of them bodies is a heavenly people. Glory to God. One of them bodies is an earthly people. Some of them stars are made to be there. They're suns that have fire within them. You can't cast them out. You can't get them out of heaven, because they're burning, blazing fires. They're stars. Others are just wandering stars, which is just nickel and stone, not a reflectors, that are just held up there by the others. And when a rumble comes, the stars shall fall from heaven. That is Lucifer, the third part of the angels. That which is not heavenly born will have to come back down to earth. You understand what I'm saying? When the war starts in the church, brother, like up here at Washington, there's a war started with that thing up there. A government and a religion, separation of church and state. They're trying to put it together, but it'll never go together. God didn't intend for it to go together. Oh, my brother, sister, you see it in the Roman powers, where there's church rules over the state. That's the only way God could ever have it. But when you see the state trying to rule over the church, when we have separation of state and church, there's a war. And those religious powers that are cold trying to come together with the religious powers that are hot, that means that they've lost their birthright. They're not heavenly born. They can't stay up there. But we, which are born to the Spirit of God, we can stay in the heavenly places, because we are they that dwell in heaven, and they can't get us out. Hallelujah. Nothing shall separate them from the love of God. Nothing shall separate them from the love of God. Hallelujah. We can take the scriptures and cut them all to pieces and cut them until they go whirling down. But they can't touch us. They can't touch us with anything. For the Bible said we are the elect of God, and who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifieth. Yea, it is Christ that died and is risen, sitting at the right hand of God. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. They're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish or any such thing. And the thunders rolled and the lightning flashed, and out came Lucifer, because God put him out of commission and put him out of heaven. When a third part of the stars fell from heaven, out came Lucifer. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And out of the earth came the beast with the two horns, and out of the water came the beast with the seven heads and 10 horns, and the feet like the bear and the leopard. And I'm going to say this right here in closing. Those that are not spiritual, those that are not the sons and daughters of God, those that cannot heed the call, they belong to the world, they belong to the flesh, they belong to the beastly part of man. And they're of the image of the beast. And the Bible said, I will hate thine image in the morning. And that means, brothers and sisters, as I've said a number of times, it means that that beast that the Bible speaks of is nothing less or more than mass humanity. Just like the church is the massive body of the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the world is the massive part, the membership, bone, flesh of the beast. And it will head up in a great Superman one of these days. It's going to do that. But they all wondered after the beast. The Bible said all of them wondered after the beast who were not elect, whose name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. And listen for a minute. What is the beast? The flesh. They all wondered after the things of the flesh. They wondered after money. They wondered after fame. They wondered after popularity. They wondered after social benefits. They wondered after worldly gain. They wondered after securities, powder, and pain. And all of the frolics of the world. They wondered after sports, and they wondered after entertainments, and they wondered after eats and drinks and everything the world had to offer. And what was it? I said the other night, there's three things that I want you to remember. Three things that the world must have. It must have three things in it. It's got to have three things to survive. One of those things is a government. One of those things is recreation, and one of those things is religion. The world must have a religion. They'd faint in their heart. They'd collapse if they didn't have some form of religion. The world could not survive. It could not survive if it didn't have some form of government. Nor could the body continue if it didn't have recreational means. So then, what is the beast? It is a constitution of those three things. Is that right? It is a constitution of those three things. The great constitution of the massive parts of humanity. And what is that beast that John saw coming up out of the waters, whereas the Bible said it was people? In that, we see that the world is going to wonder after three things. Is that right? They're going to have to wonder after those three things. What else can they do? They're going to have to wonder after three things. They've got to have some form of entertainment in the world. They've got to have some form of security. They've got to have some form of religion. They've got to have these things. There's government, religion, and recreation, which of course recreation is sports. They've got to have the three things that is prevailing in the world today. One of the things is a government. One of the things is a sports or recreation. One of the things is religion. What is the government? It's the feet of the bear, which is communism. The very thing that Russia used. It's the power of communism that'll take over the world. And what is the power of the sports or recreation? It is the old Grecian leopard that represents Greece and the world of sports and entertainment, which is your baseball, football, volleyball and basketball and all the rest that constitutes the major bodily part. Just like the Olympics and all this they had to fuss about in Russia. All of them were willing to get together on that. Isn't that right? And what is the other power of religion? The head of the lion. Is that right? What is that? That goes back to paganistic Rome. Isn't that right? It goes back to paganistic Rome. It goes back to the powers of Catholicism, which is that unification church. The same thing that Sun Yat Moon's got going. The same thing that you saw in the unification, which brings all the denominations together, giving the power to the Catholic, which is that Roman Satan goes about like a roaring lion, which brings in that power of religion that rules over everybody. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the government of communism. It's going to be the recreation of sports. And it's going to be that religion of Catholicism that will envelop the world. And those three things is massive humanity compact in one thing that is the constitution of the beast. And that thing is already coming together. With that computerized system to where one man can operate and control. Everything is just right for it. I said this year that they would come together in their unification church. That they would come together early. And that God would get his church ready because his bride was sealed in. Is that ready? Is that right? And all of these things are at hand right now. All these things are at hand. That means that we are right here at the very threshold of eternity. We are here. All of the world is wondering after what? The beast. What do you mean? After the flesh. isn't all the world after education and fame and sport and money and security and everything else? And you can't tell them nothing. You can't get their attention. You can't talk with them. You can't reason with them. They're going just like they're going, just driving themselves, just like a herd of elephants or something. You can't stop them. They won't listen. They're educated. The Bible said they'll be high-minded, which means educated. They'll be high-minded in the sense of looking up and wanting to go to the stars and everywhere else. In the last days, they'd be heady, educated, high-minded. Isn't that right? And you can't tell them nothing. They say, we know, we understand. What can you tell us? But brother, sister, God can always tell us something. We need to listen. We need to listen. All right. Tonight, we're standing right there at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The seventh angel sounding, the thunders uttering the voices and the rumbling going throughout the world and the hot and the cold coming together, and they're fixing to really be a war. You watch what I'm telling you with them putting them people together over in Washington, D.C. And if I'm a false prophet, it won't come to pass. But I've said down through the years, everything I've told you, I said, watch it. If it don't come to pass, you'll know that I'm a liar. But if it does come to pass, the Bible said, then you better fear. Now, so I tell you again, watch and see if this happens, because we're on the verge of it. We're on the verge of it. The coming together of those religious bodies will never work. It will never work. The religious leaders have been working for it all their lives. Come together, come together. But God didn't say that. God said, come out of her, come out of her. Be a separate people and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. God ain't never tried to call them together, but coming together, call them together. They can't walk together unless they be agreed. Two people can't walk together unless they be agreed. Is that right? So then we can't do anything about it, we say. But you watch, when those church bodies come together like that, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be thunder, and there's going to be fighting, going to be roaring, there's going to be problems, there's going to be confusion in the elements, there's going to be heartaches, and there's going to be sorrow. And that means in the physical, when that comes together, that the bums will start falling, because whatever happens in the spiritual realms happens on earth as on earth, so in heaven. It means that if that happens in the spiritual realms and the religious realms, brother and sister, the bums and the missiles is going to start falling, because that is what the thunders is all about. Amen. It's going to bring them to pass. It's going to bring them to pass. And John said, I saw the cities of the nations fall. I saw them crumble. Saw the islands move out of their places. The heavens being on fire, melt with fervent heat, Peter said. Oh, brother and sister, the great massive multitude there in Washington, D.C. was aware of that as they begged mercy before God. Begged mercy, Father, forgive us of our sins. Said, if they that are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, humble their heart, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. I want you to stand with me if you will. I'd like to have been to where I could elaborate it a little more freely and maybe went into detail a little bit more. But being Friday night, I tried to press over as thoroughly and as quickly as I could. I want you to lift your hands up with me, will you? Father of heaven, Lord, as we stand here tonight, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus, I'm so grateful, Holy Father, for your dear beloved Son, Jesus, knowing that we're so unworthy tonight, and all of the glory, the honor, the praise, and majesty be to thee, O Holy Father. For thou alone art exalted, and you alone in that day shall save them. You said no man shall save them in that day but Christ alone. Therefore, all the glory, honor, and praise be unto your matchless eternal name. And we do love and worship your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Therefore, giving all praise to thee, I ask in your beautiful name tonight, Father, that you would come down upon us in your lovely spirit. Father, hallow these grounds of little Bethlehem and bless the people of little Bethlehem. Bless those people, Father, that hear the message, that hear the word. Oh, beloved Father, reach out and heal, oh God. Reach out and save, oh God. I pray thee in the name of Jesus, mighty God of heaven, heal and forgive, oh God, this very moment.
Father, to heal, to save, to break every yoke, to make everything right. Help people to call upon your lovely name. Do it in the most wonderful name of your precious Son, Jesus. Break every yoke, heal every disease. Be with us, furnish every need in your lovely name, Jesus. We ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name.